Honor.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Do you want to start by yourself or wait?
Well, I think we could go ahead. Somebody's bound to come on. We can at least
Brandy,
one verse if it's something else.
Yeah, we can. Brandy is at the doctor's, so she won't be on.
Oh, okay.
We'll get started.
Okay.
Let me get to my page. We're starting with section 21, Pasuk 188 of the Sulam commentary on the Parsha of Lech Lecha. I'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud, Kutcha Barichu, Ishkisedit, Hilu, Urchimo, Uchilu, Uchilu, Urchimo, Leakta, Lashem, Yudhe, Vavate, the Yehuda, Shalim, Beshem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu, Ma'asei Yadenu Kananei Aleinu, Ma'asei Yadenu Kananeihu. Ve'i Mitema Ha'chaminan, Ve'i Tzgaliyayo, Shekinta Bevavel, Ve'ihu Levar, Aokim na Bikim hayo Haya Dahawa Madilahawa Min Kadmat Dina Mioma Eat Bene Babe Maktisha Dahio Nivua The translation you might say that the Shekhinah reveals herself to Ezekiel in Babylon, which is outside the land of Israel. However, as we have explained these words, the word came. The Hebrew phrase is Hayo Haya, refers to an event that never happened before, nor since the construction of the temple. That prophecy was for that time only, to bring consolation to Israel. My commentary, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, it has to be, if it didn't happen before, but it happened, that has to be some kind of truth with a message from Hashem to us. Is it that never give up hope? Because there's always a way out with Hashem's help.
That's correct. That's a statement that is correct. There's always hope. There's always a way out. There's always a way forward. But the surface level of the verse is that
right.
Prophecy, one time in history, prophecy came to the children of Israel outside of the land of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Ezekiel in Babylon.
Right.
So the question is, and the Zohar is telling us that this phrase, Hayo Haya, which is basically Hey Yud Hey,
hey
in both words, two different vowels.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the question
is, translation of the word, though, you know, derail, well, that would have been said, I guess. Devar, right?
The idea of Hayo and then Haya. The idea of Haya is the essence of being. If we look at Hashem's name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, what's the difference between Hayo and also Haya and Hashem's name? One has a Yud and one has a Vav. So, and we're taught that in the world that is coming, Hashem's name will be Yud-Heh-Yud-Heh, not Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And we know that the Yud at the beginning of a Hebrew verb indicates activity, action. So the three letters, Hey, Vav, Hey, in Hashem's name, is really connecting to this word, Hey, Yud, Hey. And the meaning of that word is time. Hey, Yud, Hey is translated as there is, or the sense of time, the sense of being.
Mm-hmm.
So the phrase, there, in one case there is a sense of being, and in the other case there is a sense of being. One is Zerantin and one is Malchut. It's a very powerful Zohar verse.
Mm-hmm.
When we think about this phrase and the meaning of the words themselves.
So which one is Malchut? The Hayo?
The Haya.
Haya. Okay.
Why is that one Malchut and the other one Zerantin? Because of the vowel, the O vowel in Hayo. And the A value vowel in Haya. The O vowel represents the Vav, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, since that was so close to your soul, that's why I thought it was Malchut.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have thought Yod Hey was the upper.
And maybe that's correct, but my interpretation is that Haya could be the upper worlds are bringing the information to mankind, which is the Zerantin. It could be that's the way to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But then in my sense, then the vowels would be, the words would be reversed.
Okay.
But there's definitely a connection to the upper worlds from the idea of Haya. Because a literal translation of the letters of Haya, Hey Yud Hey, means the beginning Hey is the, and the word, the letters Yud and Hey represent the upper worlds.
Mm-hmm. We can ask Mashiach when it comes. I don't.
Well, he's here now.
I know. He's getting close with something, you know. Getting close. When I read about a chip being put in the brain, he's got to be close. Closer than he was yesterday.
Let's go on to 189.
Okay.
I'm having such an interesting time with my computer. The verse 189. Ukti val nahar kavar nahar dikvar awa mi oma itvare alma ushkinta itkal yayo Tadir Aleya Diktiv Vinahar Yotse Meden Vashkot Et Hagan Umisham Yipared Vigomer Vidaihu Hadaminaihu. The translation: and as it is written by the river Kfar, which means the river had already, the Hebrew word is Kvar, been there since the creation of the world. And the Shekhinah had always appeared there, even before the temple was constructed, as it is written. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it was parted and branched to four streams. The river Kvar is one of these four streams. My commentary: with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written.
Well, I checked my little dictionary a while ago for the meaning of Kvar, and it wasn't in there. So I was surprised. That's the first time I've ever looked up the name of a place or a person in my little book that wasn't there.
If you look at the Aramaic, it's the fourth word.
Right.
So what it is kaf bet resh. So you have the word bar, and you have the letter kaf, but the letter kaf is really the word ki, kaf yud, where the yud gets dropped off.
Okay.
So the word kavar gets translated literally as like a sun.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you look at each letter individually, like the house of the head. Like the house of the lack, a house of lack, which would be the other meaning of the word Rosh. But what the verse is really telling us is that If we understand geography today and then take it back to that time, today we have Iraq, and what separates Iraq from Jordan is the we have Iraq, and then there's a river between Iraq and Iran. And that river is the, it starts with an E. It's a famous river that's written in the Torah. Euphrates. The Euphrates River separates Iran from Iraq. And what this verse is telling you, that the word Kavar is like, is this river that separates Iran, which is Babel, from Iraq. Or maybe Iraq is Babel. I always get that confused. But the idea that the river, which has always been there since the beginning of creation, is the Euphrates, which is one of the four rivers that came out of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the beginning of the creation discussions. And that's really the purpose of this pasuk.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see the sense to where it is, though. I mean, we just talked about Ezekiel and the Shekinah revealing to him words of comfort for Israel outside the land. And then we're back in the land again with the description of the, you know, Eden and the rivers. Maybe the next verse.
I'm a little confused what your question is.
Well, I don't see how this connects to the verse before.
Well, it's really a connection to the
Babylon, I guess. Yes, I see it now.
189, 188, and 187 are all connected. We're talking about Jonah. And we're talking about how after the destruction of the first temple, the people were despondent and depressed, and so Hashem gave them a lift by allowing a prophet to receive a prophecy that everything was going to be all right and we would return to Jerusalem. And that was what was talked about in 187 and in 188. And here in 189, it's clarifying, telling us where that prophecy took place.
Okay, it's a connection to Babylon. Now I see it now. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember. Did the people accept the prophecy?
Yes.
Did they believe the prophecy? They did. I'll have to go back and see the Ezekiel.
I believe they did. At least we have the idea still that that was a one-time event,
right,
and will never recur. The land of Israel is the only place you can get prophecy. But what is the land of Israel? And we've had discussions about that, because according to the Torah, the land of Israel stretches from the Nile River to the Euphrates River. That's on the east and west boundaries. And then the north and south, the south is the Sinai, the end of the Sinai, or the Red Sea. And in the north, it's the mountains of Lebanon. So it doesn't go to the full northern border of Lebanon, but it's a fair sized piece of land. Should I go on to 190, or?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Utaman itgal yayo shekin talifum Shata Ditsteriku La Yisrael Zafum Sa'araitu Aval Bezimna Achara La Yisrael Yayo Ugin Kachyona Begin Dila Tishrei Alo Shekinta Wila Titzkelei Aleya Azel Meara Kadisha V'Arak Ahidiktiv Milfene Hashem Uktiv Kiyadu Anashim Kim Milfene Hashem Uboreach. The translation. So the Shekhinah was revealed there temporarily because of Israel's need to be consoled for the misery caused by the destruction of the temple. But at other times, the Shekhinah did not appear outside the land of Israel. Therefore, Jonah fled so that the Shekhinah would not rest upon or appear before him. He left the Holy Land and fled. This is why it is written from the presence of Hashem, and that the men knew that he fled from the presence of Hashem. My commentary is that the pasuk is clear as written.
Right.
Questions? Comments?
It's reaffirming, you know, reaffirming a verse before, you know, that told us.
Right. Correct. All four verses that we've read the last couple of days is relating to that.
Right. Okay.
And it becomes clear as you follow along to the verse. We're almost out of time, so.
Okay.
We kind of made up for the last 3 days.
Okay, well, this was good. This is always good. Okay.
So, and tonight we're going to do the Ari's writings that we didn't do last night because I was too tired.
Okay, well, I was too. I'm tired too today because I did a lot of baking. And so my back isn't doing too well, but I'll do my best.
Appreciate it. You okay. Be well.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.